Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Wednesday, May the 21st, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, little ships leave Ramsgate to mark the 85th anniversary of the miracle of Dunkirk. And we find out about the creative sessions for babies at Margate's Turner Contemporary. But first today, figures out show the rate at which prices are rising has jumped to 3.5%. That's up from 2.6% in March and has been driven by increases to household bills, things like your council tax, energy and broadband. This may not come as a surprise at all if you're budgeting when you head around the supermarket. And it all comes as we're told there's also been a significant increase in the number of emergency food parcels being given out right here in the southeast. The Trussell Trust says more than 310,000 were distributed in the past year, and that's up 56% compared to 5 years ago. Nearly 120,000 deliveries were made for children. Well, I've been chatting to Amy Weisenfeld, who's from the charity.
We are really concerned about these statistics because they're not just numbers. These are individual people, these are families, these are lives that we're talking about. And it shows that people are facing increasing hardship and are having to rely on support, the amazing support that the food banks and the Trussell network provide, but having to rely on support to sort of feed themselves and feed their families.
You must be incredibly concerned about the number of food parcels going specifically to children. I think it's 120,000 here in the southeast. That's a vast number, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And it actually represents a 48% increase as well compared to the same period 5 years ago. And anyone needing to receive support from a food bank is not right. But especially for children who are placed in these sort of desperate situations when their parents are struggling to afford their own food and are having to ration their own food to ensure that they can then feed their children is really shocking and should be a real wake-up call to the UK government to strengthen the social security system, and especially around rethinking cuts to benefits that risk forcing more people to need the food bank as well.
Yeah, you mentioned government there. I mean, they're the ones who can make the changes that could make some differences. What are you at Trussell Trust wanting to happen to try and bring these figures down? Because we've seen these numbers going up and up in recent years. What needs to change?
Yeah, so we're really trying to call on the government to, one is to rethink proposed cuts to this disability allowance, but also urgently update universal credit to ensure that everyone has enough money to be able to afford the essentials in life, which would ultimately mean that people don't need to come to a food bank to rely on it for support. And also, we're also calling the UK government to fulfil its commitment to an ambitious child poverty strategy. So when we're seeing that there's been a 48% increase in the number of children across the southeast compared to 5 years ago, we know that things like ending the two-child limit, and that would be a change that would lift 470,000 children out of severe hardship. So these things are really needed. We're really seeing the impact of some of these cuts and the wider cost of living crisis deeply affecting people and who are coming to food banks to need that support. But we do think that there are ways that these can be fixed and that people can be supported in their situations.
And let's hear now from a food bank to get an understanding of their experience on the ground, as it were. Bosses at Canterbury Food Bank say they saw a 100% year-on-year rise in demand last month. Now, they've partly put that down to the school Easter holidays, putting extra demand on families. Chairman there is David Holt, and he's been chatting to Abby and Bartholomew from our colleagues at KMTV.
When I joined the charity 5 years ago, we were doing 2,000 meals a month, and then COVID came, swiftly followed by the cost of living crisis. We're used to doing in excess of 10,000 meals a month. And remember, this is in one district. This is just Canterbury, Whitstable and Herne Bay. We're servicing over the course of a year, roughly 3.5% of the entire population who are unable to meet their daily needs. It does put a strain on our resources, but we've built during that time. It's been organic growth, and we're reasonably confident that we can maintain supply.
I suppose around those Easter holidays and just the school holidays in general, is it becoming more tricky for parents because doing things and keeping the children entertained is so expensive as well?
Yeah, the cost of living crisis hasn't gone away. Inflation has been reduced. But that doesn't mean food prices aren't still going up. And it's the last thing that goes for people. People will stop doing those things like going out for the day or going to the cinema or going to the pub in the evening. The absolute last thing that goes is food because it's the one thing you need on a daily basis. And so when people come to us, they are at the very bottom.
Now, we know there can be a bit of a stigma around going to a food bank. Some people, you know, unfortunately, feel ashamed almost that they sort of have to go to a food bank. How do you sort of get around that?
The vast majority of the parcels we deliver go straight to people's homes. Others go to agencies like social services, but the vast majority go to people's homes. They're delivered anonymously. Nobody ever knows that you're receiving food from a food bank because retaining our clients' dignity is a major, major part of what we do. We understand the shame that comes with picking up the phone and saying, I can't afford to eat. And so we make absolutely certain that people can't be identified as we deliver the food.
Well, you can let us know how you're being affected by the cost of living. You can drop us an email. The address is news@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and a teenager who was caught on CCTV with a knife during a fight in Margate has narrowly avoided being sent to prison. Footage at Kent Online today shows Rhys Day wearing a balaclava and holding a blade along the seafront last summer. The 18-year-old from Poppy Close in Maidstone has been given an 18-month community order, which includes doing 200 hours of unpaid work. A man's been arrested on suspicion of dangerous driving following a crash which closed the M20 for more than an hour. Police were called to the London-bound stretch near Maidstone after three vehicles collided on Monday night. One man was taken to hospital. A 44-year-old from Surrey remains in custody. A cyclist has been injured meantime in a crash with a car near Birchington. Police and paramedics were called to the junction between the street and Margate Hill in Acol yesterday. Now next, dozens of little ships that rescued troops from French beaches during World War II are heading from Kent to Dunkirk today. They'll be recreating the journey made in 1940 to mark the 85th anniversary of Operation Dynamo. In total, more than 330,000 Allied troops were brought to safety. We've been chatting to Phil Christodoulou, who owns Quizizana, which was involved in that operation.
Winston Churchill and the Allied forces and the Navy arranged to put together a fleet of vessels to go and collect them. However, they realised really early on that the biggest problem was that they had nowhere to actually bring these vessels into that was safe from air attack and so on to be able to lift off the growing number of soldiers. So they originally looked at, they thought they might be able to lift off somewhere between 30 and 40,000 soldiers. And then very quickly realized that most of them were on the beaches. It was really shallow from there and that they needed other vessels. So that's where the little ships and the call for the little ships went out, did their part to go over and mainly ferry the troops from the lines in the water and from the makeshift piers they made to ferry them out to the larger vessels waiting, who were then able to move around as well to be able to make sure that they weren't sitting ducks for the German planes. And that's how they became involved.
Can you tell me about the little ship that you own and what you know about her history?
I'm quite lucky that my little ship actually has quite a lot of documented history or pops up in various places. There are very few photographs of the actual little ships with soldiers on board because most of that happened off the beaches of Dunkirk and was in a war zone, and so they weren't out there with lots of people snapping pictures as they do today. But I am lucky, as we sent to you a copy of the famous photograph of her with 18 soldiers aboard and two Navy personnel, a sub-lieutenant in charge of her and a rating. She was built in 1927 by Thornycroft on the Upper Thames at Hampton Court. And she was part of, I suppose, the first sort of version of caravanning on the water. So she wasn't built as like a posh gentleman's cruiser. She was just built as a family day boat for the family to get out onto the water. And it was the first version of a sort of production line boat, of which I know of two others with the same, that are sister ships with the same hull as her, that are coming across on the 85th anniversary as well. She's been restored over the years. I found her some 3 years ago, where I'd helped out the Association of Dunkirk Little Ships with some of their events, because that's the industry I'm in. And I'd kind of expressed an interest, and they then came to me and sort of said, look, there's potentially a boat that's a basket case, really, and needs a full restoration. So myself and a very clever shipwright called Malcolm Jones and his company spent 2.5 years restoring her to where she is today.
The vessels will return to the port of Ramsgate on Bank Holiday Monday.
Kent Online reports.
Firefighters have spent the night tackling a blaze at a block of flats in Gravesend. 8 fire engines were called to Nursery Grove, along with police and council officers, yesterday afternoon. Pictures at Kent Online today show the building has been badly damaged. We're told everyone's been accounted for and the cause of the fire is still unknown. Our reporter Alex Langridge has been to the scene.
We've been out there this morning speaking to residents who have said they've never seen a building go up so quickly. Many were first alerted to the fire as tenants from the block of flats ran out shouting and ringing on their doorbells, telling them to leave their homes. One said they couldn't see anything through the smoke that was billowing from the sky. Around 12 families have been affected, but it's understood they have now been put up in hotels by their housing association. Contractors were seen surveying the building this morning, which has been severely damaged by the flames. Pictures from the scene show the top corner of the building completely destroyed. You can see through to the inside of the building, with roof plaques burnt on the side of the floor.
Meantime, a Gravesend couple whose back garden caught alight are warning of the dangers of fire pits. The blaze broke out in the early hours of Monday morning after embers reignited and a wooden sleeper caught alight. It quickly spread to the fence as well as the neighbour's shed and outhouse. The couple say they had a lucky escape. A court heard how a Broadstairs teenager egged her parents' home just hours after avoiding jail for assaulting them. The 18-year-old was handed a restraining order after the attack in January this year, but still vandalised their home and sent them disturbing messages. She's been put on a community order and must do rehab. A Kent mum has hit back after getting a fine for taking her children on holiday during term time. Laura Windgate says the trip last month was the only time she could get childcare for her other daughter, who's disabled. She says if anything, the council owe her money, as they've been unable to find a school that can meet her daughter's complex needs. Well, Kent County Council declined to comment on the penalty charge, but said it was well aware of the child's case. However, it acknowledged there had been a considerable delay in her accessing a mainstream school place.
Kent Online reports.
The boss of an Ashford taxi firm has been described as happy, helpful and generous following an inquest into his death at the age of 69. Ivan Orty had run United Taxis in the town for 30 years and was found by his son at his home in Mersham last August. The hearing was told he'd taken prescription medication and some alcohol, but a conclusion of suicide was ruled out. Jobs could be lost at the University of Greenwich, which has a campus in Medway. Bosses have announced plans to restructure, which could lead to more than 300 staff being axed. They've described the cuts as being unavoidable due to significant financial challenges. A consultation with unions is underway. A reminder, part of the M20 is going to be closed closed tonight for work to install Operation Brock, the contraflow systems being deployed between Maidstone and Ashford to help deal with any disruption at the border during half term next week. The London bound stretch between Maidstone and Ashford will be shut from 8 tonight until 6 a.m. tomorrow. Uber's joining forces with a train operator to have branding on services running through the Channel Tunnel. Gemini Trains wants to launch routes from London to Paris and Brussels, which would include a stop at Ebbsfleet International. The deal would be similar to the one the taxi firm has with Thames Clipper Boats in the capital. Now, a Kent mum has been telling us how she's fulfilling her dream of running her own business after more than a decade of working in care. Jo Eleanor Matthews has refurbished the former blind company building in London Road in Tenham, turning it into a cafe. Our reporter Jo Crosley has been along to chat to her about the experience.
We're based in Faversham. I've worked for the last 13 years as a stroke carer in Tenham, and we saw this property become available and we've taken it on, renovated it fully, and we're looking forward to providing the people of Tenham and the local areas with their hot food, drink, pastries and buffets and things.
Sure. So just talk to me a little bit about your background and how you kind of got into this industry after being in caring.
So when I was young, I went on from doing my A-levels, I went on to college. After that, I went to work for Shepherd Neame Brewery for a short while. Then I went into hospitality management. So I ran restaurants and the likes, did a bit of recruitment in between. But since then, I've been doing care work for 13 years. And I'll be honest, I'm seeking a challenge now. I want to be back in the world of the happy buzz. And I love cooking. So that's where we found ourselves here.
Sure. So you've taken over this place. You showed me a picture. It was a bit of a state. And now look, you must be really proud of how it all looks.
Oh, we are. The changes are amazing. The building, it definitely needed some TLC. We think we've injected that and a bit of my personality and the family's as well. So, yeah, it's beautiful. We've put a full assisted toilet in so that we can accommodate for everybody. And, yeah, we think it looks beautiful. We're very proud of it.
Jo Eleanor's Bread and Butter is due to open on Saturday.
Kent Online News.
If you head to Kent Online today, you can read all about a man who's given up a house and his 9-to-5 job to live in a tent in Folkestone. Sukina Medita has described his new surroundings at The Warren as his nirvana, despite his tent recently being targeted by arsonists. Well, the 61-year-old used to be a sign writer, but has changed his name and given up the traditional trappings of life. He's been supported by the community following the fire. Next today, Margate's Turner Contemporary Gallery has launched creative sessions to promote play and creativity in young children. They've teamed up with Save the Children to create the Tiny Turnips workshops for 0 to 24-month-olds. Freya Knoll is the charity's early learning community lead.
The sessions are all really built around sensory experiences for the babies and young children. So the practitioners who lead the sessions use lots of different kind of materials, sounds and signs as well as part of the sessions to make sure they're all really kind of baby friendly so that any child can take part from as young as they want to come along, and they're really accessible as well to lots of different types of families, and easy for the kind of parents and carers to get involved with too. So they're very kind of sensory sessions, all very baby-led and baby-friendly and flexible. So if children are starting to kind of crawl around, walk around, that's absolutely fine. The space is very safe and set up for that. And the practitioners from the Turner will kind of lead the parents and children through a series of sort of very gentle activities over the course of the session.
And why did you decide that there was a need for these sessions, and why in particular have them at the Turner Contemporary?
Save the Children have been working in Margate for a long time, and our work over the last 7 to 8 years has really been focused in on support around the early years, and that's for a few reasons. So a lot of our UK work is focused on supporting children in the early years, but in Margate we saw this as a priority for us and for our local partners, because not only have you got continue to have very high levels of deprivation in the town, but you've also got levels of learning outcomes for children in the early years in particular that are below the national average. So over the last few years we've really been kind of bringing together lots of different partners, including the Turner Contemporary more recently, to think about how we can support improvements to local services and support for early years children and narrow that gap when it comes to early learning outcomes between children growing up in poverty in the area and their better off peers.
The sessions are open to all families to make sure children get access to the arts despite financial pressures. Kent is set to be on the big screen from today as the final Mission Impossible movie hits cinemas. Tom Cruise was spotted filming scenes for The Final Reckoning at the historic dockyard in Chatham back in 2023. We're told a market scene was shot there. And a mystery man from Broadstairs has won £105,000 on the National Lottery. He matched five main numbers and one lucky star in the Euro Millions draw on April the 25th. He's chosen to stay anonymous but is planning to spend the money on a holiday to Mauritius and a new car.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis first up, and Kent's Emma Raducanu will be hoping to continue her good preparation for the French Open later. The 22-year-old from Orpington is playing in the second round of a clay court tournament in Strasbourg. She's taking on American Danielle Collins. Cricket, and England's women are in action at Canterbury today. They're taking on the West Indies in an international T20. Play is due to start at 6:30. And in football, Maidstone United have released seven players following their National League South playoff final defeat. Vice-captain Jordan Higgs and long-serving defender Rafe Brown are among those leaving the club. Meanwhile, skipper Sam Corn has signed a new contract to stay with the Stones. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.